You are about to hear a life-changing message that was preached at the Kodesh Family Church Memphis by Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Now relax and be blessed as you hear this anointed word.
It gets sweeter and sweeter, day by day. Yes, it does.
Amen, amen. Wow, wow. He wants to heal and touch us. Listen, so we have another powerful ministration coming up. And I tell you, I think there are some people missing. So if you are here, okay, and you know somebody that is not here, they should be here. And why are you here enjoying without your friend or your family? Amen. Bring them. Call someone now. Amen. Call them. Bring someone on. Amen. And let us prepare ourselves. I want us to give a round of applause for our very own sister Ariel. Let's sing the song. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah.
I want to know you, Lord. I want to wait on you. I want to get close to you. I want to feel your presence. Oh, 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 oh. I believe in you, even though I cannot see you. Sometimes I feel your power. I feel angels all around me. I am praying on my own. I speak to you, Lord, speaking many words, repeating myself over and over. Oh God, help me wait on you. What is the best way to pray? What shall I say now? I need to know how to pray. What shall I ask for? I'm seeking for the Lord, praying for the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding. Oh, the Spirit of faith, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of humility. Sometimes I cannot remember what I'm praying for. My mind goes blank. Oh God, help me. Help me pray the right way. Oh God, help me wait on you. What is the best way to pray? Oh, what shall I say now? I need to know how to pray. What shall I say now? I need to know what to say. What shall I ask for? Shall I say now? I need to know what to say. Please help me, Lord. What shall I ask for? Oh, oh, what is the best way to pray? Oh, Lord, what shall I say now? I need to know what to say. Please help me, Lord. What shall I ask for?
Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow, what a powerful ministration. We want to know the best way to pray. Amen. So, are we ready? I'm telling you, it's the most important time probably of our week, definitely of the day, okay? The most important moment we've been waiting for is the word of God. It's about to come our way. Amen. Listen, if you all haven't called someone, call someone. Somebody is missing. Okay? Somebody is missing from the service, okay? So call a friend, call a family. You know someone is not here. Call them now. They have time. Amen. So I want us to rise to our feet because the most important part has come. Amen. We want to know how to pray. We want understanding. God has given us a shepherd after his own heart who will provide us understanding, who will give us knowledge and how to pray, things to pray for, and when to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I want each and every one of us to raise your voice. Lift up and stand on your feet and give an applause to our very own Reverend Cujo Orleans Lindsay. By the grace of God, amen. We are here live, amen.
Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus Christ and give the Lord a wave of praise. Hallelujah. Are you all hearing me? If you are hearing me, give the Lord a wave of praise. Hallelujah. Father, we bless your name. We thank you. We give you glory and praise. We adore you. May your name be glorified, O Father. As we gather before your presence, we pray that, Lord, you will be glorified. You will be the subject and object of all we do and say. Our thoughts will be flooded with your presence, with your thoughts. I pray that your Holy Spirit will be with us. Forgive us for us. Lord. And Lord, perfect your will concerning
perfect
us.
Perfect your will.
In the name of Jesus Christ. We give you praise.
Yes.
We give you power. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Wow. Put your hands together for the Lord again. Now, if you are here and your friend is not here, it will not be a smart thing to just listen to this awesome message without calling your friend. So in the next 2 minutes or something, you see your friend that is not here. Call, especially the shepherds, you know. Well, ladies and gentlemen, last week we mentioned that today will be International Sunday, but we changed because we realized that we had not given enough time. Normally, it's the first Sunday of the month, so we've changed. Ladies and gentlemen, now it's not this week, it's not next week, it's the week after. That's the 20th wow. of September. Wow. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. That is to allow us time to prepare and to make, to also invite people to this feast. The Bible says in Luke chapter 14 that when the master prepared a feast, he did not prepare it only for the servants. Yes. He said, go out there. In fact, let's bring Luke chapter 14. Let's start from verse 15. I just want to read that quickly for you. Luke chapter 14 from verse number 15. Bible says that blessed, you know, if you can bring it up. Blessed, you know, can you bring it up, please? Well, he said, blessed is he who eats bread in the kingdom, okay? And he said that a man prepared a feast and he bade many, okay? God prepares a feast and brings many. And then he asked all of them, when it was time, he invited many, but many people made excuses. And so only a few came. He said his servant to go and bring those who are supposed to be coming. They didn't come. It means the church members themselves were not enough. And then he said, go to the byways, go to the hedges. Still, he came and said, well, there's still room. And he said, now go and get the lepers, the maimed, the blind, the people that nobody thinks about, and let them come, that my house may be full. Hallelujah. So whenever there's a service, the feast of the Lord is there, bread of the kingdom is being dished, and there is no reason why the house of the Lord should not be filled. Anytime the bread of the kingdom is being dished out, the house of the Lord needs to be filled. Okay, the house of the Lord needs to be filled. All right, so I want us all to make that effort and do this. Let's rehearse that next week for the following week. What that means is that next Sunday when you're coming, don't come alone. You see, 30 minutes right, actually before the Sunday, and the 30 minutes leading on to our service at 11 o'clock, you ought to make sure that your friends, your loved ones, even your enemies, to come. Okay, I would say when your enemy needs bread, give him, and this is bread of the kingdom. So give everybody needs it, including your enemies. All right, so it's very important for us to do that. Well, so International Sunday is a Sunday that we celebrate our diversity. Our church has several nationalities. Actually, we are represented in 92 countries so far out of the 190 countries on the surface of the earth. So we have about 100 countries to also be represented in. So next International Sunday will be celebrating the countries that we are not represented. So this time the difference will be, yes, everybody's country will be represented. You dress in your national colors, national clothes, and sing national songs and all that. However, we would expect some of you to actually now plan to dig, to find, to order some clothes that are not your nationality clothing. I intend to dress like a Japanese man and to represent Japan or maybe Taiwan or India. You know, you'll be surprised. So that we will now celebrate and become aware of what we do not, where we are not represented. Sometimes the best way to prosper is to understand what you don't have, what you need to have to move forward. All right. So we're telling us some nations that we are not represented in, we need to get represented. So all of us make that effort. Whatever nationality, your leaders are going to call you and plan what they're going to do. Please. You realize that the platforms for different nationalities will be reactivated. Okay? So if you are in any nationality, you are in Kenya, your Kenyan platform will be reactivated. International Sunday planning, Ghana platform, American platform, the European platform, all of them are going to be reactivated, and your name will pop up again, and your leader will put information there to invite you for meetings. Please do not absent yourself. When you do that, you don't care about the kingdom. Okay? God is preparing a feast. He's inviting many, and you are invited. You are like those who made excuses. And the Bible says God got angry with them. So don't make excuses. In addition, he said even his servants that did not go and bring people. The Bible says that Cain was very angry. God was angry that he prepared a feast, and his servants, meaning you and I, did not invite many. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that you are the servant, and you want God to be happy with you. And therefore, we all, shepherds, non-shepherds, Jesus lovers, every member, you are invited. You're a servant of God. One thing that is common amongst us, we are, number one, children of God, sheep of God, and servants of God. So if you're the only people that will not bring anybody out there who are not, don't consider themselves servants of God. It means you are bosses of God. You are God's boss. You are God's boss. And let's see. Take care of yourself and take care of God. Okay. But we are servants. Servants look up to their masters for help. Bible says, I look up to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Father, the Lord, who makes heaven and earth. May the Lord help you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Yeah. Well, today I want us to share from something very, very important. We've been sharing about the presence of God, the anointing and the presence. Now, this month we're going to continue a little slightly different aspect, still about the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to talk about the benefits, you know, what it means to be the Lord's anointed. What it means to be the Lord's anointed. What it means
to be the Lord's anointed.
You know, and sometimes you are in a place, but you don't know the benefits. Okay? You are doing something, but you don't know what the blessing is. For example, I told you a story the last time of someone who went on a paid money and saved a lot of money over the years. Because every time you read about cruise ships, they are going to Bahamas, they are going to all kinds of places, and they're going to Hawaii, and he decided to take on the cruise ship, saved over the years, and finally bought a ticket and went on the cruise ship. And then the cruise ship was set, went to various places until they got to their final destination in 2 weeks. Okay? And then everything, it was a 2 week trip. So he went and he took a basket of dry biscuits and some juice, gallons of juice. And he just decided he was on biscuits and juice for the whole journey until maybe one day to the final day where the trip was going to be over. And then they in a place. Every day he sees people who's going for the movies, playing table tennis, who are eating buffet, and his mouth will be watering. You know, one time he realized somebody went and collected food from the buffet and sat down and then didn't finish their food and went away. He looked to the left, to the right, and what was the leftover of the person who had eaten, he just collected it, went to hide in his cabin, and ate, just ravished the whole thing in hunger.
Oh.
You know, because he was so poor, he only got enough money to buy the ticket to the cruise ship. But he didn't have enough money to pay to buy anything on the ship. And then on the last day, as a ship docked in a place, that the last trip that will take them back home, they docked in a place. And then the captain realized that this guy has been away from every activity, every food, every blessing. And then he said, if this guy, there's a problem, I need to know, because otherwise I'm an irresponsible captain. So he went and decided to chat with the guy. He said, oh, I've seen that you don't eat anything. You don't partake in the movies, partake in the fun, everything. He said, oh, it's okay. So no, even if there's anything, can I serve you something? He said, oh, yes, serve me. The man brought some food and gave to him. Is there anything else you need? Oh, yeah, drink. Brought the drink. And then he asked, so now, can you tell me? He said, oh, well, let me see. Thank you for giving me this. I wish that I had seen you early, because I don't have any money and I need friends like you to give me a gift like this. The man nearly collapsed. He said, no! Yes, you're right. Everything on this ticket was in that ticket. When you bought that ticket, you also paid for the drinks, you paid for the food, you paid for the movies, you paid for everything. It was all in that ticket. But the man did not understand. May we not get to heaven and realize that God gave us all things that pertain unto life and unto godliness through the knowledge of him, but we never took advantage of it. Such things that will be surprising to everybody is the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son everything he had. God loved us so much that he gave us his only begotten son. Now, when his begotten son was going away, God also put the fullness of his Holy Spirit, Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Father sent God the Son to be on this earth. Now, when the God the Son was leaving, God the Son besought God the Father, leave the Holy Spirit here. The Holy Spirit was left for us to minister to us, to comfort us, to help us, to be everything to the Christian. And ladies and gentlemen, the only thing that makes you different from the unbelievers is the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 16. I'm telling you, the only thing, without the Holy Spirit, you are just like an unbeliever, although you are called a Christian. He said, Jesus Christ said, I, Jesus, will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may live or abide with you forever.
Ever.
And then verse 17 says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Ladies and gentlemen, the only thing that you can receive, that the world cannot receive, is the Holy Spirit. Therefore, if you don't receive the Holy Spirit, you are like the world, whom the world cannot receive. They don't receive because they cannot. But you don't receive. You can receive, but you are not receiving. And Bible says, and he will abide with you forever. And Jesus said, I don't want to leave you as an orphan. He says, no, the world cannot receive because they cannot see him. They don't know him, but you know him, for he will dwell with you, dwells with you, and shall be inside of you. And the next verse says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. New King James says, I will not leave you as orphans. Orphans, as if you have no father. What that means, please bring that scripture, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. Do you know what that means? Any of us who does not operate with the Holy Spirit on a regular basis, you are living an orphan Christian life.
Mercy.
I'm telling you, orphans are different from people who are parents.
Oh.
I'll say it again. The Christian who does not engage regularly the Holy Spirit is an orphan.
Mercy.
Is dead. Is miserable. Is an unfortunate representation of a Christian. You are frustrated. Life without the Holy Spirit is a frustrating life. Life without the Holy Spirit is a very frustrating life. And I do not want you to live one day without the Holy Spirit. Not even one day without the Holy Spirit. Okay? So today's message is very important for you and for me to understand who the Lord and Lord's anointed means. Okay, when the Lord touch not his anointed, do his prophets no harm. At that time, the Holy Spirit, who was the anointing, came only on kings, on priests, and on selected battle people that the Lord would want to use. But now that anointing is the Christian. Every Christian, the thing that qualifies you to be a Christian is the Holy Spirit. Bible says that, marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again. John chapter 3. Yeah, and it goes on to say, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit.
Born of the flesh is flesh.
Wow. That I say unto you, you must be born again. Being born again, taking on the Holy Spirit, is taking on the anointing. And the Lord adds more and more and more of the anointing. Now, when you don't have the Holy Spirit, you are an orphan. How do I know? God says, you know, an orphan can be somebody who also has a father, but who does not relate with the father as a father. Who decides, I'm not going to take anything from my father. I'm not going to get provisions from my father. when you have a father that has no influence on your life, you are at this as disadvantaged as somebody who doesn't have a father. How do I know what is it that the Father wants to give us so much so that we don't become orphans? The Holy Spirit. How do I know? Luke chapter 11 and verse number 13. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. That's the Father speaking, eh? How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Ladies and gentlemen, what this is saying is that the thing that the Lord, that makes God wants so eagerly to give you, so that you will be like a son who has a father, is the Holy Spirit. Do you get the point? It says that your fathers, they know how to give good things. The Lord also knows how to give good things, even much more. And he's saying the great thing we need is the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, last week somebody called me and said that, Pastor, I need the Holy Spirit. You've been preaching about the Holy Spirit for a while. Therefore, I need to be baptized in this Holy Spirit. This evening, God will, this evening, 6 p.m., we are going to have a Holy Ghost baptism on this same Zoom. Shepherds must come with your sheep who do not have the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you are making your sheep orphans. This evening at 6 p.m., I want all of us to come for 1 hour by the grace of God. Have the teachings. I want to meet you and lay hands on you. But the Holy Spirit gave the Spirit to without laying on of hands in Acts chapter 2. So I believe you will have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It says that if your fathers, they know how to, sometimes I look at my children. The other time I looked at my children, they had dressed up. They were driving my car. And then they had not done their homework. And the exam was coming. They had not prepared. I called them back. I said, come. Put my car down. Guys are working as if you are doctors. I am the doctor. I am the one who has worked. And I told them, everything you have, I give to you. And so when you see a child who doesn't work, wears clothes, drives cars, lives in a house, turns on air conditioner, his fees are paid, he eats every day. The guy has every provision but from the father. I told them that day that don't be deceived. When you grow up, you will have to learn how to. Your way of getting what I gave you when I'm not there is your education. I told them, drop that car and go and study. Otherwise, pull off all the clothes that are on you so that you know how destitute you are without a father. So you can fend for yourself and find clothes and find food and find you walk. And go and now call Uber and you have no money to buy. What was that? I was trying to tell them that without a father, you are destitute. But with a father, you look more powerful. Such that you forget that you have to go to school. That's the role of a father. God wants to come into your life. Such that when people see you, they will know the difference between you and the world. That God, the Spirit has everything. I'm going to show you today. Everything that you ever needed is in the anointed. What does it mean the Lord's anointed? It's equivalent to what does it mean to have somebody who is spiritual enough to acknowledge God as his father and to accept what he brings. The only thing God left here on earth for you and I as an inheritance is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You think all the things he created has no spirit. They will be here and they will be destroyed, but the spirit cannot be destroyed. That is why when Jesus was leaving, he only left one personality who cannot be destroyed, who will live forever. Everything will perish, but not you. God wants to give you something that would have a lasting value. My children, I want to give them something that will have a lasting value. Education can never be stolen from them. Yeah. You know? And I tell the thing that you will carry with you wherever you go is your education. You won't carry your car. You can't carry your car from here to Nigeria. You can't carry your car. You can't carry. But your education, wherever you go. So something that will they can carry eternally. Carry wherever you go. And it can bring them food. It can buy them water. It can buy them a house. Can buy their education and their training. the counsel, the advice, you know, the habits they pick up, all these things are from the father.
That's my mother.
Ladies and gentlemen, the father wants to give you something that has everything. The Lord, tell somebody, I'm the Lord's anointed.
I am the Lord's anointing.
I am the Lord's anointed.
I'm the Lord's anointed.
Now, I want to tell you about David, Psalm 89. I want to read a little bit about David. And when the Lord called him his anointed, he made him a son, a beloved son. Okay? David once said, Lord, how shall I escape from your presence? What can I do without your spirit? Yeah. It's Psalm 139. And verse 7, he said, let me just read from verse 1. He says that, oh Lord, you have examined my heart, and I know and have known me. Keep going. Verse 2. Thou knowest when I sit down and when I rise up. To understand my thought from afar, that's a father. Keep going. You compass my path and my lying down. When I pass you, when I lie down, you are acquainted with my ways. You know me very well. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, you know it all together. Today I'm telling you something that will fill your heart fully. You have beset me behind and before. You are everywhere around me. Lay thy hand upon me everywhere. Yeah. Keep going. You are the Lord's anointed. Everywhere you go, God wants to go with you.
Amen.
They carry my name. They carry my features. They carry my car. How long will you? And then David said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Today, when you are leaving, the knowledge of what the Holy Spirit will be wonderful. It is too high. I cannot attain it. Keep going. I cannot attain it. You can't do it by yourself. Where shall I go from your spirit? Now he's saying what it is. I will never move away from your spirit. No Christian will move away from God's spirit. Where his word is, I never get out without calling the Holy Spirit to help me. Without the Spirit. My exams, I call the Holy Spirit, help me. My marriage, I said, when I'm at work and I'm having difficulty, I said, help me, Holy Spirit. When I need money, I said, help me, Holy Spirit. I'm telling you. Amen.
Amen.
Where shall I go? Can I escape from your presence? Okay. Now, Psalm 89 from verse 20. Today, may the Lord find you. Psalm 89.
Amen.
From verse 20. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation.
Amen.
It says, I found my servant David. I told you, God considered us three things: servants, sheep, sons, or children. I found my servant David, and I've anointed him with my holy oil. Some of you have anointed yourself with talismans and with things around your waist. Talking about the Lord's holy oil. When a son takes the education that the father brings, lives in the house of the father, the prodigal son learned too quickly when he went away from his father's presence. But no. He cannot survive. It was limited. Everything is limited except when God is with you. Joseph had the presence of God, the anointing of God. Even in prison, the Lord lifted him up.
Yes.
In your prison, still call upon the Lord and his Holy Spirit. David was in front of Goliath. Saul had sinned and the Spirit had left him, but David came with the Spirit that killed the bear and the lion. And the same Spirit says, who are you, this uncircumcised Philistine, that you defy the armies of the Lord? And it said, in the name of the Lord, who you are defying, today you are down. I will bring you down and I'll give your head, your eyes and everything to the birds of the sky. And with one sling stone, he defeated it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Quintessential example of a servant who was anointed. I found my servant David, who was nothing, a simple shepherd boy. I've anointed him with my holy oil. I will steady him with my own hand. With my powerful arm, I will make him strong. May the Lord make you strong.
Amen.
Amen.
Darkness will never defeat him, nor will the wicked overpower him.
Amen.
I will put his enemies or adversaries before him and destroy those who hate him. My faithfulness and unfailing love will be with him. And by my authority, he will grow in power. Oh, may the Lord's authority come and grow your power.
Amen. Jesus, mighty name.
Authority and his rule over the sea. And call out to me. And he will call out to me and say, you are my father. You know, when the spirit of the Lord is upon you, you can tell confidently, take on that you are my father. You know, you are self, you are preaching. You are a cleaner. You are a worship leader. You are in the choir. You are called, I will anoint my servant David with the holy oil. But what does the holy oil do? When you are anointed, when you have the Holy Spirit, it actually gives you the ability. David here said, when the anointing is upon him, he'll call me and say, you, God, are my father.
There's Amen.
That comes to you when the Spirit of the Lord is with you. That you know that God is your father. You know that he cannot mess with you. You know that Jesus Christ is your father. You know that heavenly oversight. You know that God's angels are walking with you. When my children are going somewhere, everything that I have is also going with them. They are stranded. I'll call an Uber for them. One time, one of my children said he was hungry. He used Uber Eats. I didn't know that Uber could eat.
What a shock.
But they know that Uber Eats. And you know what they did? They called Uber and said, I have a father who has a credit card. I'm linking the to your restaurant. I need to eat now. And Uber Eats responded based on my credit card. Look, certain things will respond. Jobs will respond based on the...
Amen.
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 The response.
Righteousness for my name's sake.
Amen.
If you are not, you can't easily call God your father. You are like an unbeliever. What it means to be anointed. What it means to be anointed. What it means to be the Lord's anointed. It also means to be the God's child in your heart, in strength, in confidence.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What it means.
Amen.
When you have received the anointing, he, David, will call out to me, you are my father. An anointing will call to you to pray.
Amen.
Cry out.
Amen.
Cry out to your father.
Amen.
Sometimes the reason why we are not prayerful, we can't pray for long, is because we don't have the spirit of prayer.
Oh.
We don't even believe in our hearts. Believe me, all your Christian problems, spiritual problems, the carnality, if you can adopt and embrace and welcome and imbibe and believe in the Holy Spirit, to pray. Even your thought processes will have God as a factor. You think about something, your father is all out to you. But many of us don't believe. We become like unbelievers because they cannot receive the Spirit. And you who can receive the Spirit is not receiving the Spirit of God. I don't do anything without the Holy Spirit. If you have been observant, I never pray without mentioning the Holy Spirit. If you've been observant, there's no prayer. There is none. Absolutely none. How can I pray without the Holy Spirit helping?
Okay.
I will call him, you are my father, yet you are my Lord and the rock of my salvation. I will make him, and then God responds by saying, because of this anointing, and he calling me father, I will make him my firstborn son, the mightiest king on earth. May you become the mightiest among your brothers.
Amen.
Amen.
The mightiest among your colleagues and contemporaries.
Amen. Amen.
The anointing. All these things came because of the anointing.
Yes.
You become the mightiest in the... You see, David was the smallest or so of his brethren. Yet, he was higher. Yeah. I will love him and be kind to him forever. May the Lord love you and be kind to you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus' name.
Because you embrace the Holy Spirit. My children, the people who accept me as a father, I'm loving them forever. Even, look at something about parents. No matter how much you grow, they still consider you as their child.
It's true.
Mothers never cease being mothers. And true fathers never cease being fathers.
Mm.
Yeah. Even when they divorce your mom, they never divorce the children. True fathers.
Mm.
He said, I will love him and be kind to him forever. My covenant, my contract with him will never end. How can you end your father? How can it be? How can it be? My covenant, my contract with my children will never end. Never end. That's what the prodigal son thought. That, oh, my relationship with my father is over. My father was waiting. You are the one who wants to come to me. You are the one who has rejected my spirit. But I'm waiting. The day he called him, Father, I've sinned against you. I say, even said, I'm no longer fit to be your son. But the father said, no, you are my son. And the big brother who was doing the right thing also said he doesn't qualify. But the father said, no, you don't know. I have a contract so long as he's my child. Forever. No matter what you've done. Some of you, you've fallen into sin. Some of you, you're backslidden so much. As I'm speaking, you are wondering, how can I have the Holy Spirit? You don't know the sin that I'm into. You don't know even the girl that whose ties I'm holding as I'm listening to you. One time we were having a session like this. One pastor, a prophet, spoke and said, there is a certain lady, you are actually sitting on the lap of one of my church members. Get out and put in the parents and leave his room so he can listen to the preaching. And it was true. It was confirmed.
Wow.
I'm telling you, no matter what, when the prodigal son came back to the father to accept the will of the father, the little boy, the big brother said, your son has gone to waste your living on riotous living and with prostitutes. But the father didn't seem to even take cognizance of that statement. He said, no, it doesn't matter. This, your brother was lost, now he's found. He was dead, but he's alive. It is
celebrate.
Today the Lord will celebrate you if you can accept.
Amen.
How can you resolve your issues of yourself and your sin? You want to sort yourself out before you take his spirit? No! You need the Spirit of God to help you resolve your issues.
Amen.
That boy never ate with pigs again. That boy never ate with pigs again. Today, that boy never slept with prostitutes again.
Mm.
He said, I will preserve an heir for him. It means that an inheritance will be preserved. It means that you who didn't ask for the Spirit, your inheritance is still there, it's preserved. To preserve something, you only preserve things that you know that will become useful to you.
That is it.
So you throw them away. When you eat food and you put it in the refrigerator to preserve it, what you have plans for the future. You are usable. You have a plan in mind. So when your inheritance is put in the refrigerator with your name on it, God is expecting that one day you will come and ask for it. Today, I that preserved inheritance of the Spirit. You are the Lord's anointed, is preserved with your name on it.
Amen.
And everybody who will ask for it. That is why when the Lord said that I will preserve an heir inheritance for him, his throne will be as endless as the days of heaven, so long as heaven and earth remain. Every Christian, your inheritance of the Spirit will be there.
Amen.
And then, you know, this, I'm saying that the Holy Spirit, Luke chapter 11, verse 13, was when God says that even your parents, if they don't know how to give you good gifts, how much more will I not give you? When you ask. And therefore, this evening at 6, anybody you want to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, let me call it the inheritance of the Holy Spirit for the Join at 6 p.m. And let's believe God for that. Let me tell you a few things. Blessings, the benefits of the Lord's anointed. Are you ready for that?
Yes, we are.
A few benefits. Benefit number one. But I've read a lot of them already, but I want to put them in categorical categories.
Amen.
I'm preaching from this book, The Steps to the Anointing. Steps to the Anointing, chapter. It says what it means to be the Lord's anointed. King David was anointed as a youth. He had absolutely nothing that would qualify him for greatness. When he came, when his name was mentioned, he was just a little shepherd boy who the parents had left him in the backside of the desert. He had gone. He had been sent to take care of the few sheep, despised. One time he came and said, a lion nearly killed me. So they said, go again. And another time came, hey, daddy, I went again. This time a bear wanted to kill me, but I fought. And they still sent him. That means that he was dispensable. He was nothing. A child that a lion attacks, it nearly kills him. You know. A bear nearly kills him, you send him to the same place. That guy is very important. Today, whatever it is that does not make you important, the Spirit of God will make you important in Jesus'
name. Amen. Jesus' mighty name.
An anointed person is always important. When the anointing of the Lord comes upon you, you may be a shepherd boy in the backside of the garden. You may be a Joseph who is a refugee in prison, but you'll be elevated into the royal household.
Amen. Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah. Wow. The Holy Spirit made a change in my life. When I tell you my background, you'll be surprised. The only difference is the Holy Spirit. What it means to be the Lord's anointed. The new thing in his life was the anointing from the Lord by Samuel, who came and anointed him. Even Samuel, when he came to anoint him, he said, he was looking for the bigger boys in 1 Samuel chapter 16. And finally, let's read verse 7. God told Samuel, even prophets were not looking at him. I'm telling you, whatever your life is before the anointing, even prophets sometimes overlook you, but God does not. And God said, Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, he said, Samuel, oh prophet, you look at what men look. Please bring it up. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. He says, for man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart.
Wow.
All you need to do is to have a heart of faith. Who is bringing the scriptures? And then he went and said, is there no other child? And they said, there's one more child. There's one more child. You see that? He said, do not look at the appearance or at his physical stature. Some of you are considering the way you are. Forget it. Just change your heart towards God. Because I refuse. For the Lord does not see a man as man sees. For the man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Then verse 7. So Jesse called Abinadab to meet him to pass. He said, no, I have not chosen him. Keep going until we get to David. And then he brought all the same thing. Then verse 10. Keep going. Watch this. That Jesse made all the seven sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said, yes, the Lord has not chosen any of these. Then verse 11. Watch this. Watch this. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here?
Uh-huh.
And then he said, there remained yet the youngest. Seven without the youngest. And there he is, keeping the sheep. Oh. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for I will not sit down until he comes here. Then the next verse, verse 12. So he sent and brought David in. Now he was ready, with bright eyes, good looking. And the Lord says, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Look at Samuel's attitude. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Now, watch this. Why do I say, even Samuel was anointed. He nearly finished. He just got up. He didn't even have a chat with David. Do you remember when Samuel anointed King Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 10? He lived with him. He ate with him. He celebrated him. He escorted him. He encouraged him. Oh, the sheep have been found already. Go before your time, and then you meet some people. He even instructed him how to behave. You meet some prophet. He introduced him to prophet. Everything. You meet some prophet. Then they will say that eat bread with them, and the Spirit of God will come upon you. And then people, you start prophesying, and people will wonder, is Saul also among the prophets? Mm-hmm. Is all the orientation, all the teaching, but David, no. Because someone said, what kind of a person is this that the Lord will anoint? He just rose up and he left. Mm-hmm. But what people have relegated you, where people have dropped you, God says, no problem, I can make something out of you. Clap for the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Wow.
Clap the Spirit of God. What does it mean to be the Lord's anointed? Benefit number one. Benefit number one is in Psalm 2, verse 1 and 2. It says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing against the Lord and against his anointed? What does that mean? What that means is that when you are anointed of God, people talk about you. Yes, unbelievers will see the difference and they will speak. Who does he think he is? Does he think he's all that? Because you're all that. Evil decisions will not work on you in Jesus' name. People will conspire, but it will not affect you. I break every table of conspiracy that is against you to decide against you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Was advising Absalom to go and kill David. He said, let me tell you something, King. Go when he's asleep. He will be caught off guard and you will slay him. Just slay him alone. He said he himself will even go. And then the Lord, who knew about the anointing on Joseph, he brought the guy we called Husha the Archite, who had escaped and joined the conspiracy team of Absalom by mistake. He was there when Ahithophel, the wisest, whose counsel had always worked, was giving this advice to Absalom. Ahithophel just got to say, Hushai said, no, this is not good. David is a man of, anytime he's sleeping and he's under attack like this, he has contingency measures. It will not be a smart thing. Therefore, the counsel of Ahithophel was quenched. How David escaped. Conspiracies against you will not work when you get the anointing. It's a
amen.
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 God has warned spirits, touch not mine anointed, do my prophet not. You will harm yourself. Bible says you cannot kick against the pricks. It's in your best to get the anointing because conspirators are at work. The devil is at work. But sober, be vigilant for your adversary. Conspiring against you like a roaring lion is seeking to devour. Anointing protects you. Anointing preserves you. Anointing makes you mighty. Bible calls the anointing the spirit of might and greatness. They can't easily overcome you.
It will not work. Conspiracy will not work.
The heathen rage and imagine vain things. Vain things means what they say will not work. It will be. Oh, may that be your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen. I receive it.
Plans come and kill you. When they come, they will find you. David had been planned. Saul wanted to kill David. And Saul had given Michal, Saul's daughter, to David to marry. You won't believe it. Woman who you know your father is about to kill David, but the woman conspired against King Saul and made a doll, a dummy, into the bed and said, David, get up. My father has planned to kill you and cause David to escape. That's the benefit of the anointing. The heathen, but in vain. And he escaped. King Saul was so angry with his daughter Micah. Amen.
Amen.
King Saul's son, what's the name? Jonathan.
Yes.
David was about to be made king, and King Saul explained to Jonathan that if you don't kill this guy, you will never inherit the kingdom. You will never inherit the kingdom. You need to kill this guy so that you can become king. You won't believe it. Rather than Jonathan rising up and saying, it's true, David is about to take my kingdom. Rather, Jonathan joined alliance with David and said, my father wants to kill you, so go and hide. I will throw some spears. When you see it has gone beyond this point, it means Jonathan said, my father will not do this. And when Jonathan found out that it was true, he helped David to escape. David to his own hurt. Because what happens when you are the Lord's anointed? Things happen amazingly. You are there because things are at work. The Lord is round about his people. I want to be anointed of the Lord so that supernatural things will fight against conspirators. And the thing that has been conspired against me will be in vain.
Amen.
Amen.
I was supposed to die long ago. Young, I was never anybody who went to college would die until I found the Lord, until I believed in the Holy Spirit, until I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of the Lord was upon me. All my uncles before died.
Right.
Yes, I happened to be the male that broke through by the grace of God, by prayer and by the anointing.
Amen.
And today I say to the glory of God, no man has died in my house. That curse is
broken. Amen. Amen.
Shall be broken.
Amen. Amen.
Who? What does it mean to be the Lord's anointed? It means that yokes will be broken. Conspiracy is not right.
Amen. Amen.
It means that the unbelievers will rage, but will be in vain in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Affects you. Everything planned that touches you in the neck. Why? You are supposed to be, your father is a protector.
Mm.
Father is a protector when you are anointed by his Spirit. Now, the identity inside of you that sees you as the Father's Son is the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no, the devil recognizes nothing about your physical being.
Mm.
When the devil came to the garden, what he took away was the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. He took away the identity that made Adam and Eve legitimate children of God. When he said that, when he said that you will die, it means that no longer exist in the form that I made you. Your nature of God will go away. That nature will die.
Oh,
be born again. We would need to be rebirthed with the same spirit that was lost in the garden.
Mm.
And that's the same spirit that when Christians come, the devil makes sure that let them read the Bible, let them go to church, but let them not be interested in the Spirit of God, because that's the same thing that I don't want them to have. When they have that thing, they come to heaven. When they have that thing, they want it. When they have that field, from today, may you enjoy the Holy Spirit.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen.
Yes, again.
Amen. Amen. In Jesus'
name. I will never do without the Holy Spirit. Never. It's dangerous to live without the Spirit. You will be like the unbeliever. Although you are calling yourself a Christian. The fact that you went to McDonald's does not make you a beggar.
No.
You need to be a beggar. You need to take on the identity for real. And the Holy Spirit is the most abandoned aspect of the Christian life everywhere, across board, in every church. And it's a trick of the devil. Eyes be open. May you be with the Lord's anointed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
In vain. May you be restored to your original nature, the nature of identity.
Amen. Amen.
I believe it's chapter 4, verse 30. He says that grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, which the Lord has given as a seal of confirmation for your redemption. Seal. When they open up, what's the identity that will identify you as a child of God? The Holy Spirit. Scripture, Ephesians 4, verse 30, I believe, says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, which has been given to you as a seal for the joy of redemption. Ooh. That's what it is. I'm telling you, your seal, your mark of confirmation, identity that confirms you as a Christian, is not in your singing praises. It's not in coming to church. It's in the presence of the Holy Spirit, because the devil can come to church. Unbelievers come to church. Now, the difference is the Spirit, the seal for the day of identification and redemption. God will redeem his own. What it means to be the Lord's anointing. Number two, it means the Lord's anointing. What it means to be the Lord's anointing, number two. Huh? Are you getting it? Are you there? Are you there? Are you there?
Yes, we are.
Number two. When they say you are the Lord's anointed, number two, Psalm 18, verse 50. I'm just going to give you the scriptures. The first one is that the heathen will rage, but in vain. Conspiracies will fail. The second one is Psalm 18, verse 50. Says, and the Lord will show you mercy. He will show mercy to his anointed. There is something we call the sure mercies of David. It's in Isaiah chapter. Uh-huh. So great deliverance he gives to his king and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and to his descendants forevermore. David and people like David. David and people who are anointed, descending from David, who take on the anointing, they will have the mercies forevermore. Bible calls it the sure mercies of David. in Isaiah 55 and verse 3. May you receive the sure message of David.
Amen.
Amen.
So long as you live in this humanity, you will always need mercy. You have done something wrong that somebody needs to show you mercy. God assures his anointed of mercy. He gets them. He makes the people to actually forgive you. Look, I was going into an interview where I was not qualified. I didn't even know I entered, and they took me on. And I told you this, said sorry several times, not knowing it was only for citizens of the United States. Then, 6 months into the job, they noticed that they had made a mistake.
Yeah.
The sheriff of David worked for me. Mm-hmm. He changed the constitution, reorganized, and actually helped me to get citizenship.
So that what a blessing.
That is the mercy of God.
Mm.
Comes through the anointing. From mm-hmm. you, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Number three. I'm talking about the show message. Number three. What does it mean to be anointed? What it means to be anointed? Psalm 20 and verse 6. Now know that I, the Lord, saves his anointed. The Lord will bring salvation to you. He will save you from trouble. Now amen. I know he is anointed. The Lord saved David from death many times. Hey, you will be in a place, and then by the time you realize, you make a decision, let's all go. And the next thing you realize, hey, did you know that time that you left, that's when the building crashed in? What it means to be anointed. Now, the anointing, the Bible says in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Anointing comes with angels who are surveillance spiritual beings who know things you do not know about, who see danger from afar, who take you before the danger comes, who can hold people for your sake.
Amen.
Like in Kings chapter 6, same thing as the first Kings. The man of God, Elisha, was there and people were coming. The servant was afraid, saying, Master, what will we do? The master said, the people that are with us are greater than the people that are against us. He said, Lord, open his eyes. And he saw angels with fire in the same place, more than the enemies. Protection. Because of the anointing that was on the man of God, that was rubbing off his self. Hey, anointed, you are anointed too. If Bishop Dad is anointed, the anointing is rubbing off us.
Amen.
Amen.
Servant of King Elisha.
Amen.
We're anointed as well, and you'll be blessed. So the anointing, to be an anointed means you'll be saved, salvation. Next one. Number four, to be the anointed of the Lord, it means here, some thou lovest righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God anointed thee with oil of gladness above your fellows.
Mm.
You know what that means? It's also in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. It means expect promotion and good news that was this you will celebrate in gladness, and that will promote you and lift you above your fellows. Expect. When Joseph was anointed with the Hebrew boys, they went and did an exam. Bible says in Daniel chapter 1, from verse 17, Bible says, as for these boys, God gave them knowledge, skill in learning, wisdom. Yeah. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge, skill in literature, and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And verse 20, look at what happened. Verse 20. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, you are going for an interview or an exam, he found them 10 times better than all the astrologers who were in all this realm. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes when I stand as a black Ghanaian boy among white gastroenterologists, they tell me, no, the patient say, I want this doctor to do it for me. And then the bosses say, no, we want to choose this. Look, they've forced me about it for a long time. And your exams. Look, intelligence, anointing brings intelligence. Bible says in Isaiah chapter 11 that he'll give you the spirit of wisdom and understanding and knowledge, and you'll be of quick
understanding. Christian, I am more intelligent than I was when I was an unbeliever. When I became a
Christian.
Wow. Quick understanding. Bible says in Hebrews 4, he will make you of quick understanding. He's talking about IQ, intelligence. Yeah. He will lift you above your fellows. He will anoint you with the oil of gladness, not the oil of shame, not the oil of the oil of gladness.
And amen.
Above your fellows. Who are your fellows? Your brothers and sisters. Who are your fellows? Your colleagues at work. Who are your fellows? Your classmates. You will see that you will find a job, same qualification, but it pays you more.
Amen.
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 You will see, we are both married, but I'm happier because there's anointing in my marriage. You will see, that is the reason why the Lord, the devil does not want you to go for the Spirit. He has made you a mechanical Christian, not a spiritual Christian. You don't acknowledge the Holy Spirit in anything. You don't want anointing to preach. You don't want anointing to pray. You don't want anointing to read the Bible. The Bible has become like the most difficult textbook you ever know. So you only have one because it's not nice to have one, but it's not rare because you don't understand. But when the anointing shall come, when the Spirit, he will make you understanding. Bless you with a hunger for the anointing in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 But let me say this. Number 5. Psalm 92 verse 10. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of the unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Unicorn means authority. May God give you authority in your workplace.
Amen. In Jesus.
The demons. May God give you authority over evil spirits. May God cast out thoughts and to lay hands on the sick to recover.
Amen.
May God be in your host home, in your household, to command things to come.
Amen.
Marital authority.
Amen.
Put over your emotions.
Amen.
Number 5. Jesus. Number 6. That's the last one. My eyes shall also see the desire, my desire. On my enemies. It means that the people that are tormenting you, when you pray, something will happen to them. I prayed some time ago. They fired the guy tormented me for years. One day I said, I have been applying forgiveness. Forgiveness. One day I said, Lord, please. What is this forgiveness that is making me suffer? And the person that I forgave is always being happy. I told the Lord, please, enough is enough. I'm tired. I'm sick and tired and frustrated with this guy. That same day, the guy was fired. And then finally, the righteous, Psalm 92 verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like the cedar of Lebanon. That's 92 and then 90. He said 92 verse 11 and the verse 12. He said that my eyes shall see the desire of man. And then also the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like the cedar of Lebanon. And it goes that, you know, you can even become, there's so much. And then verse 14 says, they shall still be bringing forth in their old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. These are anointing privileges. Even when you grow, you're still young. Yeah. That means that if I am maybe 92 and my wife brings herself, she can easily get pregnant in Jesus' name. Amen. That means easily be 92. You are preaching. You are starting churches. Yeah. Caleb, 5 years. He said, that mountain because of the anointing. Bible says, Caleb has another spirit. He followed them because of the anointing. And he said, he was 85. I said, give me that mountain. I'll conquer it. He may be old. 8 means nothing. You look beautiful.
Amen.
Like I'm looking, I look like 17. Many of you are deceived when I tell you I'm only 23. But you know, the anointing will make you young. When I say, meeting, floor meeting after floor meeting, when he's finished, he did this, give thyself holy. The last day when he was good, it's as if he had just started because the energy was strong because of the anointing. The anointing will take away sicknesses from you.
Amen.
From you. will cause you to rise up and to become youthful. You will be among the young people. You'll be 92, but you will have young people as your friends because you can relate.
Mm.
You can technologically, you'll be advanced. Spiritually, you'll be advanced. Your teeth will remain in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will walk without a stick. Because of the anointing, they will be in their old age, they'll be fat and flourishing, and you'll be still winning souls. May you receive the anointing. Lift up your
food. Amen.
I receive,
amen.
I receive it.
I receive it in Jesus' mighty name.
David, I'm not going to ignore the anointing anymore. You can't drop this message anymore. Tell you what you should do. Some things that you should do by the grace of God. Nobody should miss this. Bring somebody so that the Christians that have been deprived of their fatherly rights, of the anointing and the graces will be restored, and God will bless you. Put your hand on your heart. Let's pray for the Spirit of God right now. Right now. Put your hand on your heart. Say, Lord, I've ignored the most valuable aspect of your presence, the Holy Spirit. Forgive me for ignoring the most vital ingredient in my Christian life. Forgive me for ignoring the most vital personality of the Trinity on this earth, the Holy Spirit. From today, Holy Spirit, you will be my friend. You will be my confidant. I will chat with you. Let your children play with you. Call upon you. Relate with you on every aspect of me. And may we understand what it means to be the Lord's anointed. May we serve you so that we can say with David, God is our Father. Every prodigal son, prodigal daughter who has gone far from your spirit, far from your presence, Lord, we come back. Please receive us and pour your spirit upon us in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, before you go away, one more thing. If you are here, you are willing, you want to give your life to Jesus. Now you understand what it means to be born again. It means to get the Spirit of God back. Or you are born again, but you want to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, to live a life of the Spirit. If you are here like that, just lift up your hand and pray with me. And repeat this prayer after me. I'm going to pray for Christians who want to rededicate their life to Christ and to the workings of the Holy Spirit, and also to unbelievers, people who want to be born again and be different from the world. Now, everybody say this after me. Say, Almighty Father.
Almighty Father.
Thank you for this revelation.
Thank you for this revelation.
To live as a Christian without the Holy Spirit. Say it.
Without the Holy Spirit.
I know I'm a sinner.
I know I'm a sinner.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Forgive me for
all my sins.
Forgive me for ignoring the Holy Spirit.
Forgive me for ignoring the Holy Spirit.
I believe Jesus died for me and for my sins.
I believe Jesus died for me and for my sins.
God raised him from the dead.
And God raised him from the dead.
And when he left, he gave me the Holy Spirit.
When he left, he gave me the Holy Spirit.
By this fact, I am born again. I am a child of God.
I'm a child of God.
I qualify for the Holy Spirit. Please write my name in the book of life. Fill me with your mighty Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's mighty name.
Amen.
We believe that the Word of God has come through to you and you have been blessed. Come join our services at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive this and every Sunday at 9:45 a.m. Be blessed.